Amen. Good morning. Did I already say that? Does it count if I said it twice? I worked with a guy, and we were in Home Depot once, and he said, "Good morning." Right? And the guy said, "What's so good about it?" I said, "Whoa, never mind. We'll just keep moving." I don't know. I didn't feel like you were saying that to me. That just popped into my head. But I feel like everyone here is recognizing it is a good morning, and it's good to be together in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Thank God we have a place to go. David said it, didn't he? He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Was that Psalm 117 or 127? There's a 7 involved somehow, I know it. "But I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord." Like, that's a great thing. Driving in on Sunday morning. How many people have never thought about anything in the car on the way to church on Sunday morning? Right? Nobody raises it. Always fight. Why is that? Sunday morning. Jess and I, we were church planning in Silver Spring, Maryland, and it was like a 45-minute ride for us to church, right? Like, maybe 10-minute ride, you can get away with not saying the wrong thing, right? But 45 minutes, that's too much time. Like, and there was too many opportunities to do the wrong thing, right? So we would always get in a fight on Sunday morning. That's why we take 2 cars now. No, no, it's not. It's not true. I just get here earlier. But why is that? You know what? I could say that guaranteed, I don't remember. You can ask Jess, but 99% of the arguments I don't remember. Once we left church, I don't remember a single one of them, why we were arguing. She remembers every single one of them. So. No, she doesn't. She's forgiven me, forgotten. But I think it's because there is a lot against being together in the house of the Lord. And there is a lot against the body of Christ. Because we are representing God here on earth. Like, how else is God visible on earth right now but the church? This is the way. Not by mistake, not by default, but by His design. And in His infinite wisdom, and in his knowledge beyond ours, He says, the perfect thing, my purpose and my visibility on the earth right now is the church, the body of Christ. So when we come together here, it is a statement. It is a statement in our own lives that by faith we value this, being in church together, and we are going to church. But also we're making a statement to the world to say, no, this is more valuable to me, and I will go to the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for your value of the church as a body, that you value church. And that means, I'm telling you, for me, that means so much, right? To come to church and have people, to preach to people who value church. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That's amazing. Amazing. So thank you, body of Christ here. Thank you for valuing this place and what we do here. So, yeah, amen. God is leading us by faith. We had a great night last night, actually. We had a little Bible study kind of feeling, testing the waters out in Manchester, New Hampshire last night. A group of us went up and we met with another couple and we prayed together, we shared the word, we got to know each other, we ate pasta, and it was great. So pray for Manchester, New Hampshire. Right? There are people up there, they are also praying that their God would move up that way. So we have an opportunity to be there and keep it in your prayers. Also, this Saturday night, Pastor Shabelli will be here. He'll be here Saturday night and Sunday morning. So Saturday night, 6:00 here at the church, we're going to have a little time with Pastor Shabelli. And if you don't know Pastor Shabelli, well, come on and meet him. He is the missions director of Greater Grace World Outreach. He was a missionary in Africa for 30 years. And still makes as many trips as possible, but he is sold out for the gospel. And he's exciting to listen to. So he'll be up here visiting us this coming weekend. So Saturday night, 6 o'clock here at the church. Everybody's welcome. And then Sunday morning. So, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for giving us your word, Lord. You've delivered it to us so perfectly. So we ask that you would lead us through it now in your name. Amen. Okay, open with me to John chapter 15. John 15. We're going to go through quite a bit here. We're going to read from John 15, verse 26, and we're going to go all the way to John 16, 13. So I'll read. We can read together. And Avery's doing the words up there today. Avery, look at Avery up in the booth. Avery, huh? Woo! She said, I said, it's her first time doing the words. She said, take it easy on me. I said, okay. So we're going to stay in the text here. Right, so, John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. There's a lot in that verse, isn't there? When the Helper comes, okay, the Holy Spirit is coming. Where is he coming from? Well, where is he going? He's coming to you, and then he's coming from the Father. All right, so he's coming to you from the Father. There's a lot to think about in that. That God is not leaving us as orphans, but actually he's sending the Holy Spirit to us from the Father. That he's coming from somewhere. He's not just, you know, appearing, but he's coming from the Father. And he is the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Truth is a great thing, isn't it? Especially when we're talking about footing, about substantial footing or security or what was the word I used in the beginning? I already forgot it. Stability, thank you. Who was that? Gold Star. Thank you. Gold Star. Right? Stability. When I'm looking for stability, I need truth. Because without truth, then what am I standing on? I am standing on miry clay. But in truth, I have stability. That's the rock that we have been placed on. And he proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. So Jesus is telling the disciples that the Holy Spirit will testify of me. Okay. Of him, not of me, of him. Right? Jesus is saying the Spirit will testify of me. There's unity there, isn't there, in that verse? You see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the testimony of Christ, that he will testify of the works of Christ, of the words of Christ. He has nothing to say apart from what Christ has done. The Holy Spirit teaches us these things. Okay? And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. You also will bear witness. Now, Christ is there with 11 men, and he is talking to them specifically, but also he's speaking to us in the projecting it on, that you will bear witness, that we bear something, that we do have a burden as disciples to bear witness to Christ. But we don't do it on our own. We don't do it by our own means. We don't do it in our own wisdom. We do it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We bear witness. Okay? Verse 16. We're going to pick up the pace here. Those two are important, though, aren't they? There's a lot in those. Oh, man, we could just park it there. We're going to keep going because we have a plan this morning. Verse 1. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. Okay? These things I have spoken to you that you may not be made to stumble. This is in the play, in the Easter play. Right? What is the line, Pedro? You say it. Yeah. We haven't done it in a year. I forgot the lines already. Right? Peter is outside of the Lord's Supper, and he's... Do you remember, Jonah? What is it? I would never stumble. Right? Jesus speaks to the disciples, I am telling you these things ahead of time. I am preparing you for what is coming so that you should not be made to stumble. The Amplified says this, so that you're not offended. So that you're not offended. Offended by what? Well, chapter 15, he talked about the world hating you, disciples. Right? Don't be offended. Don't stumble at the fact that the world does not appreciate what you do, or the world does not believe what you believe. Don't be offended. It's not you, it's me, Jesus is saying. Right? Like it's because of me. Because I have testified against them. I have testified, I have talked about their sin. And now they are accountable for their sins, and they don't like that. So that's why. But don't stumble. Don't stumble. You have a sure footing. Have you ever stumbled walking through the woods? There's a root exposed, right? You stumble over the roots and then bup, 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 right? We've all been there. Late at night, you step on a Lego. Right? Ooh. Choice words for those Legos, right? But you stumble. Like there is instability in our life, and it's possible that as we walk through, we could see things and we could be offended and we could stumble at them. But the Holy Spirit has been sent to us so that we would understand the footing that we have as believers, and that He would lead us into what? All truth. And that He would establish us in the truth of what Christ has done. What does it say? He says that, verse 26, that He will testify of me. The Holy Spirit is coming to you, disciples. He's coming to you, believers. And He will testify of the works of Christ. Because that is what is significant. That is the thing that gives you stability in your life. That is the rock. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 11:13, that there is no other foundation that anybody could lay, but it already has been laid. It is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. All right. I said we were speeding up. We slowed down. All right. Verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whosoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. We've seen this in history with the Jewish people. Right. We've seen it in history. We could see it in the current spirit of the world, that there is this anti-God attitude. Right. There's persecution happening all around the world. There are more martyrs for the faith in the 21st century than there has ever been. Right? This is not something that is just history, but this is the reality of some believers. Look at the place that we're in. Isn't this amazing? We drive here in our cars blaring our Christian music. We carry our Bibles into the building. We sit here and sing with our arms raised and turn the volume up. We preach confidently, boldly, freely. Hallelujah. But this is not the experience of every believer on the face of the earth. This is very different in some places, right? It's quiet. It's underground. There could be insecurity in every meeting. There could be. Like in China, there are underground churches and they are divided in different apartments and they are trying to stay ahead of the game. But there could be insecurity in the meeting, but where is the security? The security is in the worship. The security is in knowing who God is. The security is in knowing my salvation. And even though it could be compromising to my health and to my stability in life to take a step of faith and go to church, I don't care. I'll go because I value the thing that God is doing in my life. Isn't that amazing to think about? We don't know anything about it. Right? We have free, hallelujah. Thank God for the place that we live and the things that we have. Take it for, don't take it for granted, but value it. You know, appreciate it. Be thankful for it. It could be that there's a time coming. I don't know. Right? It could be. I pray there isn't. I pray there isn't, but who knows how much time there is ahead of us. I don't know. Anyway. Because it's happening in the world already. Okay, verse 3. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Okay. Like I didn't want to freak you guys out, really. you couldn't have handled it then, maybe. But now I'm leaving and I will send the Holy Spirit to you and He is the one who will be reminding you of these words I have just spoken to you. Right? Imagine that the disciples walking with Him up to the Garden of Gethsemane and He says, by the way, it could be that the time they'll throw you out of the synagogues and even they would think that they are doing God's service and killing you. And they're like, whoa, whoa, Whoa. He says, but don't worry. You have sure footing. The Holy Spirit has come to you and He will lead you in truth. And He will establish you in this way. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Oh, wait, I'm ahead. All right, verse 5. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Could you imagine walking with Jesus through the streets of Palestine? Could you imagine that the security that you have walking with the Messiah in Jerusalem? Like how beautiful an experience that would be. Here are these 11 men who have been called out of different places. Matthew, the tax collector, right there. Come, Matthew, follow me. Okay. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew in a fishing boat, and hey guys, follow me. Okay, and they leave everything and they follow Him. They left all of their securities to follow Christ. And in following Christ, they had such confidence. They felt good. They felt so good that they would argue about who was better. Right? Like these guys felt good when they were with Christ. They had sure footing. But now He's saying, trust me, it's expedient or it's important to you that I leave you. And you're like, wait a second. No, you're the best thing that has ever happened to us. We don't want you to leave. He says, no, if I leave, then I send the Holy Spirit and this thing takes off like a way that you would never imagine. He's speaking to the men who would be preaching in Acts chapter 2. And from from this point to Acts chapter 2, how low of a dip did they take? It was pretty bad. They all left Him. They all denied Him. They ran away. But He is speaking to them and He is carrying them over that dip. And He's saying, listen, you guys are ready for this. The Holy Spirit is going to come and He is going to do a work and He's going to be your comforter. But look what He says in verse 8. When He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Okay. So from chapter 14, verse 26, He introduces the Holy Spirit. And then all the way up to this point, He is talking about the Holy Spirit's ministry to the disciples. How the Holy Spirit will minister to believers. That He will remind them of the words that He spoke. That He will lead them in all truth. That He will be a witness to them. And He will bring to mind these things. But now He goes to a different part where He's speaking about the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world. Okay? And He says that when He comes, He will convict the world. Does anybody remember our definition of the world from last week? Alienated from God and in opposition to God. The world, the cosmos. Alienated from God, meaning disconnected from God, and in opposition to God. Not only disconnected, but hating God. We have it now in the time we're in, that there is atheist, but there is another way of saying it is anti-theist. That I can't prove that God is not there, but if He is there, I have a lot that I can say to Him. I am against what He is doing. I disagree with His purpose. I disagree with His decisions. I am angry with God. An anti-theist. The world is this way. But the Holy Spirit is coming into the world, into the cosmos. The disciples are there. They get the comforter, the helper, the one who will lead them in the security of their salvation and lead them in the sureness of their footing in this world. But He has a different ministry to the world. And it's a ministry of conviction. Conviction. Telling the world that they are wrong. Isn't it comforting to know that this is the Holy Spirit's work? It's the Holy Spirit's work to go into the world and convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's our job to preach the word and to not let the truth fall in the streets. But we don't have to do the work that the Holy Spirit is sent to do. We are His disciples. We are His little reflectors right here on earth. And our life lived with God, the way that we live, the way that God leads us, is challenging to the world, but it's the Holy Spirit's work. Right? And He says that He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Interesting, these three things, aren't they? He says it of sin because they do not believe in Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is warning the world, convicting the world, throwing up the warning flag. Bah, bah, bah. Warning, warning. We said, or you could turn onto the highway and there's a sign that says wrong way. Right? Have you ever said, thank God for that sign? Woo, glad that was there. But there is a warning sign when it's like, okay, now it's time to adjust to that sign and go the right way. But we said it recently that there could be another sign a few hundred yards further that said, you have thoroughly gone the wrong way. And now buckle up. Like it's going to get rough. Right? The Holy Spirit is in the world and He is convicting the world of sin. Why of sin? Because sin is the thing that separates me from God. Why is the world offended when the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin? Because there's nothing that they can do about their sin. This might be something that led you to salvation, understanding that you don't have the means to pay for your own sin. There's a burden there. Come, all you who are wearied and heavy laden, Matthew 11:28-29, bending underneath the weight of what you were carrying. There is a burden of sin that I cannot bear. Have you remember Pilgrim's Progress? The great story by John Bunyan. Right? John, not Paul. John Bunyan, right? And the burden that's on Christian's back. And it's getting bigger and bigger and is getting heavier and heavier. And he is on this road and he cannot do anything about it. He cannot take the weight. He cannot do, he can't by himself deal with it. But what happens? He kneels down at the cross, right? He kneels down at the cross, and what happens? The whole burden falls off, and it is buried there. Right? The Holy Spirit is telling the world, listen, there is a burden of sin that you cannot bear. And the world reacts to it, and they say, hey, don't tell me about that. Hey, how dare you? Hey, can't do that. You talk to me like that. But then also, what else could happen? The world could be convicted by that and say, you're right. You're right. I cannot handle this load. It is too heavy for me. What hope is there? And there is the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. Righteousness. Why righteousness? Because the world cannot attain righteousness on its own. The righteousness of God is separate. It is so unattainable by my own effort. I cannot do it. And the Holy Spirit comes into the world and comes to the self-righteous and says, hey, how you guys doing? And they say, we're doing just fine. We're great. Better than that guy. Sadie? Girl? I'm doing just fine. And he says, well, that's not enough. That's not enough. And he said, but I got all 10. All 10 commandments. I've done every single one of them. You sure about that? Well, you know. If you've broken one, you've broken all of them. Oh. There is no righteousness in me? You mean? No, there's no righteousness in you. You are all unrighteous. There's a conviction in that. The Holy Spirit is telling the world, you are not righteous. And the righteousness that is required, you don't have a chance of attaining on your own effort. So believe. The gospel is there. It convicts the world of judgment. This is a terrifying word. Jonathan Edwards in 1741 preached a message. You know it's got to be a popular message if 1741 we're still talking about it. Right? It was preached right here in Northampton, Massachusetts. It's called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Read it. Read it. He read it. It took some 6 hours for him to get through it. He read it monotone. He didn't have any inflection. He stared at a rope over the audience's head. He stared at a rope the entire time he preached it with no emotion. But the effect of the Holy Spirit's conviction in that message was that people were hanging on to the building, afraid that they themselves would slide into hell as he was speaking. Is judgment real? It is. It is. Warning. Warning. Judgments. You are under the wrath of God. He talks about a verse he uses in Deuteronomy. Where is it? Deuteronomy 32, 35. He says, their feet shall slip in due time. That's the text he's coming from. Their feet shall slip in due time. The miry clay. And he paints a picture that every unbeliever is walking across a volcano on a wooden bridge, and they have no idea if the next step can hold their weight. Like, this is the warning that judgment is coming. And if you are outside, and if you have not heard the gospel and responded to it, then warn that you are subject to the wrath of God. That is not a place you want to be. He preached that message, and some 500 people got saved in that day. And then the transcript was distributed to churches, and it was read. People just read it, and people got saved. There is a grave warning to the world that you are facing judgment. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. There is no party in hell. Your buddies are not there. They might be there, but you won't find them. You won't be with them. In the world does not like this message. It doesn't. But there are some who need it. And there were some who will respond to it. And the Holy Spirit is ministering it to the world. Okay? So we see there is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer, to you and me. And what is he doing? He is reminding me of the truth and the teaching of Christ. He is testifying of Christ. And he is bearing witness of Christ. And then we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the world where he is convicting, he is challenging, he is confronting. That he is the one that is throwing up the difference. Right? The contrast is there. And how stark is the contrast? Well, the contrast is human goodness to divine holiness. And there is nothing that can cover that distance. There is no effort of man that can say, I have thrown off my sin, I have become righteous, and I have overcome judgment. No man can say that. Christ said it in John chapter 3, nobody has ascended up into heaven except one who first descended, the Son of Man. He descended. He came down here so that he could save us, so that he could die for us, and he could take the burden that we could not handle. He took our sins. And he has made us righteous. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:21 that he became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Why? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that's the gospel. It covers that distance and it makes up for the deficiency that is in me. He descended here so that he could cover it. And then finally, he has taken me past judgment. John chapter 5 verse 24 says it. He who believes shall never come into judgment. Shall never come into judgment. Why? Because we know what the effect of the cross is on humanity. That he was judged for us there at the cross, so we would no longer face judgment. We would not be under the wrath of God. And the story of the picture in this message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, is that it is only by God's grace that you have the next breath that you have. It is only by his grace that the next step does not bring you sliding down into hell. And it is by his long suffering, by his patience, by his care, and by his love, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the heart of God. So we see the two things happening there, right? Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now he's talking about us again. There is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. There is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. And then He brings us up again. He will lead you into all truth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You just opened up a can out there in the world, Lord. What do you mean? What do I have to do with it? And He said, oh, you're my vessels. You're my ambassadors. I have stirred all of this up in the world. But remember, I am guiding you. I am leading you. I have given you a sure footing on this earth. And I have given you beautiful feet to take the gospel message into a world that I have stirred up. Shake a beehive. Isn't that a terrible idea? Terrible idea. I was mowing my neighbor's lawn one time, and there was an underground beehive, and I mowed over it. I didn't know. I had like 20 bee stings on my leg. It was terrible. Terrible. I said, I need hazard pay. Right. We had a big hornet's nest in our house in Baltimore. We had a huge hornet's nest up in a pine tree. I mean, it was a monster. It was huge, beautiful. Right. But it was terrifying, right? Because these hornets were like dive bombing us. The kids were out there. Right. So I said, I can get it. Right. So I'm standing on top of the shed. I'm on top of the shed on my tippy toes with one of those spray cans of wasp spray, right? And like it says it shoots 27 feet. And I'm on the shed, right? And I'm spraying, and it was coming up like just short. I was like, ah, man, right? I got to call somebody. But then I'm like, I got my football. I'm like, I could throw a football at it. Like, is that? No, don't do that. Or the Holy Spirit. So I called an exterminator. I said, yeah, I couldn't get, you know, I had the spray and I couldn't reach it. And he was like, what? What were you doing? I said, I was going to spray it. He's like, you were gonna get stung so many times. I'm like, well, you know, whatever. Anyway, God has stirred up the world by the Holy Spirit, and He has placed us in the middle of it. And He says, now you are my ambassadors. I have convicted the world of sin. I have convicted the world of righteousness, and I have warned and convicted the world of judgment. Now you stand there and answer their questions. And we say, what? Are you kidding me? What? Huh? I don't think so. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't stumble at this. Don't be offended at this. But instead, stand fast in the thing that you have, the surety, is that a good word? The stability of your salvation, stand in it. And your ability to stand confidently in this world will be a picture to people who have no footing in this world. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to let the world know that it has no stability in this world. The footing is not sure. But we, as disciples, as believers, have solid footing. And we walk in this world with confidence. He says it in chapter 15, verse 21. He says, all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know Him who sent me. Oh wait, that's not it. Where'd you go? What am I? Now I don't know what I'm looking for. What was I talking about? No. Man, that's a bummer. Oh. Huh? Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so, sorry. Edit that part out. We got to make me look better than that. No, I'm just kidding. So the Holy Spirit, now here we are. We are standing with a sure footing in this world. And there is a whole world out there that has instability. And the Holy Spirit says, now you are the ones who are called to go into the world and make a difference. Right. This is amazing. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Brian read it at the beginning. It says, How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom who they have not heard? And how shall they hear him without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? There it is. The world is stirred up and they don't know what's happening. But I have called you. And he says it right there. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet that bring the gospel. Why? Because those are feet that are led by the Holy Spirit. Those are feet that are not coming out of instability, but they are coming with a divine viewpoint into a world that is lost and dying and saying, hey, there is hope. Is your sin too heavy? There is hope. Have you not reached where you think you should be? There is hope in Christ. Are you worried about judgments? Is the fear of death nagging at you? There is hope in Christ. We are the ones who are sent out into the world with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we have words for people. We have words that fit what people need. There's an interesting story in Acts chapter 10 where Peter is called to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is not Jewish, right? And Peter shouldn't go there. But Cornelius has a dream. And he says, go call for somebody named Peter. Peter, right? And listen to the words that he says. Isn't that amazing? We could say, well, the angel is speaking to Cornelius. Couldn't the angel just do this work? Wouldn't the angel be more effective? He would be more impressive. He would be, he would make more waves. Like, he's telling him to look for Peter. Why doesn't he just tell him the words that you want him to hear? No, because I have filled my disciples with the Holy Spirit. And it is important that my disciples use the words that the Holy Spirit has put in them. And Peter goes to Cornelius' house and he preaches the gospel. His whole household is saved. And the Holy Spirit is then living in the Gentiles also. Whoa. This is the life that we are living. We have a message that cannot be preached by angels. We have a message that cannot be communicated in any other way but by our words and by our life. Oh, what a privilege that is. What a great reality to live in. That there are people out there who are surrounded by peril. They are surrounded by pride. They are surrounded by sin. And they don't know how to get through it. And here we are, standing confidently on the rock, saying, there's hope in Christ. There's hope in Christ. That's all we have to do. That's it. This same story comes up in Acts chapter 8, where there's a guy in a chariot riding along reading the Bible. He's riding along reading the Bible, and there's Philip. He said, hey, what you reading? He goes, the Bible, I don't know what it means. And he said, I could help out. And he goes and he displays the word to him through the law and expounds on the word and who Jesus is. The guy gets saved and then Philip is translated to some other place. Isn't that an amazing story? Man, I want to be translated like that. Right? Woo! Just moving over traffic through the whole thing. But this is the life that we have. These are the words that we have. This is the significance of what we are as disciples in this world. The Spirit-filled believer in the world today is the most significant person because he's the only one, she is the only one with a message of hope for an overwhelmed world. So that's who we are, church. That's who we are. That's like Christ lays it out here in the very beginning to the 11. He says, listen, I'm going to the cross. You guys, there's going to be a lot happening in the next couple thousand years. And what you guys do in the very beginning is important. And there will be fruit that remains. And here we are today, fruit that is remaining from the ministry of these disciples because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They moved out by faith. They were not concerned with what they looked like or what they sounded like. They were concerned with what the Holy Spirit was calling them to do. And we are the same way. And we are so glad. I am so glad that God has called us and He has equipped us and He has sent us out. So let's do it by faith, whatever that means. I don't know. It's different to everybody. But the Holy Spirit is the one who will lead you in it. And when He does, take a step by faith. And when you fail, walk out the door and never come back. No, don't do that, right? And when you fail, you know what you do? Receive grace and say, hallelujah, I just learned something great. I'll tell one quick story. Probably most of you have heard it. But I was in Istanbul, Turkey. And I was traveling. I was flying from Istanbul, I think back to America or something. Doesn't matter where I was going. But I booked a ticket on the wrong side of the city. Right, there's two airports in Istanbul. And everybody else had a ticket on that side of the city, and I found a cheaper one and found out it was on the opposite side of the city. So I had to take a bus at like 1 o'clock in the morning across Istanbul to get to the airport. And this shuttle bus, everyone's getting on. You know, when you get on a bus, you think, okay, I need as much space as possible. I don't want to have to contact any other human being, even though I'm on a missions trip. So like we do it, and I get the seat. I got two seats. This is fantastic. The bus is filling up. My seat is the last one left. And I see this American kid getting on the bus. He's got like his hookah hanging out of his backpack, and you know, he's whatever, I don't know, he's just having fun in Istanbul, and it's the only seat. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. I don't want to deal with this guy. Okay. So he comes up and he goes, oh, is that seat open? You know how much I didn't want to talk to him? I pretended I was Russian. Yeah, I did, honest to God. I said, right? And he's like, so I just grabbed my bag and, you know, American flag on it, you know, obviously American. So like the Holy Spirit is nudging me, like, speak to this kid. And I'm like, no, I don't want to hear what he has to say. I'm done with it. I did my missions trip. I'm heading home. Right. So we get to the airport, we get off the bus, and I kind of wait, grab my bag. I wait. He goes that way. I'm like, all right, I go this way. Right. And then we're at the, you know, every station you go through, right? You get the ticket, and they're getting checked in. And I turn around, and there he is, right behind me. I'm like, how did you get here? Right? Just hide my American passport. Ah, das vidanya, yeah. Right? So I do that thing, and then I get through, and I wait. Oh, we got to go to passport control, and I wait, okay? And I go this way, he goes that way. I'm standing there, I'm like, what? He's back behind me again. There's some commotion, some aisle closes, and he's back behind me. It's like, gosh, this kid won't give up on me. And the Holy Spirit is like, hello, speak to him. I'm like, hey, no, right? How many times do I have to say no? So then we get through into the terminal. It's this giant terminal, little airport, big terminal. All of the flights are, you just sit on like, you know, it's all one big collection area. So I sit down on a bench, and here he is. He sits next to me. I'm like, all right. I said, how's it going? I was like, I'm not Russian. I said, honestly, I've been avoiding you. And he's like, oh, yeah? Didn't notice. I said, but I think God wants me to speak to you. And then he's like, I think I only speak Russian. Right? I said, but I, in my heart, God, I want to tell you something. And I gave him the gospel. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most amazing conversations I've had. He's in college. We were both in college. We were the same age. And he was just traveling. He said, I'm looking for something in the world. And I said, well, you know, me too. Looking for lost souls. And we had this great conversation. I don't know what came of it. I don't know where he is today. I have no idea, actually. But just to say, we are never failures in Christ. We are never failures in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places in Him. He gives us opportunities, and it is His responsibility, right? It is His responsibility. We bear fruit and we bear witness. So there is a burden on the disciple, but all of the weight is carried by Him. It's like He puts a backpack on us and then He carries us by the backpack, right? Like that's the way it goes. Like, here is your burden. I will carry you and it. Will you trust me? And we just say, okay. Okay, by grace. I failed. Yeah, by grace. I get up by faith and I continue. And I say, the Holy Spirit has filled me and He's moved me with a message. So, this is how I think the church needs to look at the world. Not critical. I mean, you know, we have a lot to disagree with in the world. We do. The spirit of the age. We see things we disagree with. But we are not there to confront it. We are there to offer hope to it. We set up a standard of truth. We do not let truth fall in the street. We do not waver on who God is, what humanity is, what people are. There is no change to it. But we have a message, a greater message, and that message is hope. That message is putting people back together. Oh my gosh, I have so many things flowing through my mind right now. But I'm going to stop. Tonight we'll talk about it. The cities of refuge in the Old Testament. All right, so that'll be tonight at 6 o'clock. So, hallelujah. All right. Lord Jesus, thank you for this message. Thank you for building us as disciples. I ask that you would continue to challenge us and to draw us deeper and deeper into your truth and into your reality, Lord. Thank you that you have sent us out as ambassadors of Christ in this world. Help us to be effective communicators. Help us to depend on you as you fill our mouths with words to speak to people. And if there's anybody here who's never received Christ, you've never been born again, you've never received the gift of eternal life, just say in your heart, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I have no righteousness of my own, but I want your righteousness. And if you've said that prayer in your heart, just raise your hand. We'll pray with you. Okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.